right. Very exciting. Monday morning. On the road to work. And I got a couple hours here. Spend making recordings. This is Jason Nemro. Jason. Am I getting started? Jason Lindo. You're listening to Cohen Meander. I've had brought back to my remembrance, and I don't know how many times I've talked about this, but for me, it's things that strengthen my devotion to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I know people go, he's not the Messiah. Jews are an interesting follow along to the children of Israel. I think it's a little tricky to talk about them in relation to the children of Israel. It's almost like they're two completely separate groups. And that's not to denigrate anybody. So yeah, when people say, well, are you a Jew? And you go, it depends on how you describe it. I have no problem with people who say I'm not. Now, am I a Cohen? Yes. Can that be denied? No, I guess it can't. Once we discovered this fact and we realized it, made the connection. And this isn't something that some outside entity besides us and God can take away. Anyway, you know, the Jews are really a creation of the Middle Ages. The fact that the Jewish people and their traditions, this is what's important about traditions, is that they help groups coalesce and stay together. And that's really what the Jewish people are today, is a group that, to a large extent, coalesced around traditions from antiquity, before antiquity. Have a unified creation story. One that Christians, I don't know if they share, one that Christians also abide, although Christians are Gentiles, by and large. Although they started as Jews, it really grew far beyond its Jewish roots. But they coalesced also around different traditions. Anyway, but it's really interesting, and I only think that way because my family did not hang with Judaism. My great-great-grandfather, walked away from the Jewish faith when they came to the United States, America. He made a conscious decision not to identify himself as a Jew, because Jews were so maligned. You know, you don't want to give them a bad rap because of that. Anyway, so that's why that, although I am an Aaronite priest by lineage, as far as Judaism is concerned, my family walked away from Judaism at the turn of the 20th century. We stopped being Jews and started doing something else. Not that other branches of the family remain true. Now, these were families that didn't have children particularly, and or at least not part of our branch of the family. Regardless, that was what I was going to talk about on this particular recording. Let me shift gears. There's actually two things I want to talk about, so I hope I turn it into two different recordings. I think that's good, so they're not all 2 hours long. A 2 hour long recording is just too much. If you're having to spend 2 hours recording something, that's just means that you're not. I think it ends up that you're rambling almost if you can't cut it down to something a little better, even if it needs to be multi-part. Anyway, so let me talk about. I'm going to talk about the last. Oh, 12 years. It's 2024 now, toward the beginning of it. We're almost done with February, going into March. I remember in about 2012, I was in my mid-40s, and I don't know if it was a midlife crisis. All my children were still at home, I was working for New Mexico State University. I was getting really bored with my job, honestly, and some things had changed. They were starting to do a lot of evaluations. And I was getting a few raises because they said that the work I was doing and the money I was making were incompatible. So I got a few raises simply because they said, well, you're doing this kind of thing. Although my actual job title was actually looking less and less impressive as the time passed. They kept reclassifying me, even though I either made the same money or made a little bit more. I was going from like being a systems administrator or a systems analyst, and I was getting downgraded to being a technical support specialist, technician, stuff like that. And it was like, this isn't going to help me. That I start out with a job that looked really good on paper, and then at the end of it, it looked like I was nothing. I was a nobody. Because at the end of the day, people kind of look at how much money you make, but they spend more time and they're much more interested in your title and what you've done. And so, boy, let me tell you, it's only lately that the things that I did in New Mexico State, which were pretty cool, dropped off of my larger resume, just because if it's more than 10 years in the past, you just need to. If the only impressive things you've done are more than 10 years in the past, you're doing something wrong, you know. So I started talking with Lisa about different things, and they had finally taken me, and instead of being a salaried position, they dropped me to hourly. Now, frankly, I kind of like hourly work because it makes it reinforces for my supervisors, the managers, that I'm not just some serf if you work hourly, you're not a serf, or at least less of a serf. If you work for yourself, you're not a serf. That's tricky these days, I tell you. I've been self-employed, tried to be self-employed a few times, and it's usually been pretty tricky. And not very and really looked bad. So I've remained an employee, and my wife Lisa is so very, very pleased with the steadiness of it. Lisa loves steadiness. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Anyway, so it was like 2012, and these things were starting to happen. Even though the money was still coming in and even improving a little bit, I was looking bad on paper. And both Lisa and I decided that it was probably time for me to start looking for something else. I had been in New Mexico State for a little over 8 years, which is the longest job I've ever had, ever. So I started looking around for the work, and I made a deal with myself. I don't know what happened to the little kind of business card sized affirmation I did for myself, which was I was going to start looking for opportunities, and I was going to start taking opportunities. And I think along this time, one of the apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is the church I'm baptized into, the belief system that I adhere to, gave a talk. They're called talks, not speeches, but talks. Anyway, and he gave a talk about one of the more tricky things about followers of Jesus Christ through the teachings of Joseph Smith, which is personal inspiration that comes through the Holy Ghost. It's a member of the Godhead. It comes from God, but it's through the mechanism of the Holy Ghost that really speaks to us directly. God the Father speaks to us not at all. Jesus Christ usually speaks to the larger group through prophets and apostles. And then we get our individuals. That's not saying that you can't get visitations from other people, you know, from Christ. It's not saying you can't get it from God the Father either. It's just not very likely. Joseph Smith was the prophet of this dispensation. These times, he got to see God the Father, but only once. And once that he was spoken to other times. Don't get weird about it. This talk, and it comes up because it's something that's been really hammered home many times since then. This is the first time it really struck a chord with me. And I don't remember. I've tried to find that particular talk, and I can't find it. It's probably because it's something that came to my mind, and the Spirit made it come to mind. And it really wasn't a huge feature of what was being said by this apostle. And I don't remember if it was Elder Hales, we always call them elders, Elder Hale or Elder Old Mercy. Oh, this is terrible. They're both since passed away quite a while ago. Hales or... I'm not even going to try. One of the apostles that were also brought into the Quorum of the Twelve around the same time as Elder Hales. They told this... He told how to access the Spirit, because it's usually really a thing. You'll feel a burning in the bosom and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah. But for a whole lot of people, it doesn't manifest like that particularly. I'm not really sure it manifested like that to even Joseph Smith. It was this. It says, you know, do your due diligence, do some research, and given what you figured out you should do, you should go and do that thing, trusting that the Holy Ghost will stop you, put impediments in front of you, will give you, it's called a stupor of thought. If it's something you shouldn't do, and then you go back to the drawing board and you do it again. Well, starting in 2012, after I kind of made this affirmation that I was going to be taking more opportunities, that I wasn't just going to sit pat and wait for raises to come, wait for New Mexico State University to give me a new opportunity, which they weren't going to when we were living in Tucumcari. I started the whole plan, and very soon it became obvious that it was going to be time that we were going to have to leave Tucumcari. It was a good place. We had lived there since 1995, and I felt I had done everything that one could do in Tucumcari. Found out that was true, but it was pretty close. Anyway, I started looking. We had several plans. I was going to go off to Shetland and go to school there and get my master's in Shetland. I was going to go back to school. That was good. That was one idea that just kind of fell apart. We were looking at Alaska. And ultimately what happened first was I got an opportunity at the college that I went and did most of my education at, was at a college in Portales, an Eastern New Mexico University. I got a job there, and we sold the house. Well, we started selling the house. I don't know when the house actually ended up selling. It took a while. I think I was still at Eastern when it sold. The big house that my kids had, to a large degree, grown up in. And it wasn't working in Portales very well. And I don't say that it really wasn't a job that I got paid more at. I think the pay was roughly the same. But I was doing something completely different. Well, no, not completely different. It was still in the realm of computers. I was working on servers then. That was something I needed to make a jump to, was working on servers instead of working on, you know, desktop support type things. It was a new adventure for me. I was using a lot of the information that I had built up. Over time, as a hobby, I was then using for work, and everybody was quite happy with it. The problem was that we were renting a house, and we weren't making as much money as we needed to make to survive. It was even before I left New Mexico State that I started working on my master's degree. So I was working on my master's in information technology network management. It's hard to believe that I started doing that 12 years ago. In fact, I graduated just a little less than 10 years ago. All along in this, I was employing this concept that I got from my talk. Just go ahead and press forward and God will stop you. And the really amazing thing was I wasn't getting stopped very often at all. In fact, things started kind of, interesting things started happening that God was, not that this was particularly new, but it started having a much more significant influence in my life. The situation in Portales wasn't working. Just my expenses and my pay were not working. So we knew that we had to make a larger change. And I had been working a little bit, you know, when I was brought on at Eastern New Mexico University, when I got that job, it was predominantly to work on Linux. Linux is still, I think it still ends up being kind of a hard thing. Not a lot of people do it. And that was what I was hired ostensibly to do, is to work on their Linux systems, servers. And so when I started looking for jobs, it was mostly for Linuxy jobs. And so I finally got one working for Dell. We moved to Oklahoma City. Oh, my gosh. And then I started changing jobs quite often, just because opportunities would come up as I went to a place that had more opportunities. I spent a little time working for Dell in their technical support queue. That was interesting. Oh my gosh. And I just took that job because I just needed a better paying job. And this one paid significantly better than where I was. Each one of these jobs would bounce me up a large amount, you know, by at least $10,000 a hop. And I seem to recall after we had been in Oklahoma City for a while, Lisa and I decided that our goal was to make $80,000 a year, and we were getting close to that. When I was working for Eastern, and at the very end of New Mexico State, I was making probably about $44,000 a year, and so I took the job at Dell for in the 50s. I got a new job at working for the military. It was my first military contract job with a clearance and stuff like that. Of course, I'm a very boring, not interesting person that doesn't do much, which makes me perfect for things like classified work. So that job I got for about 65. And a little bit better. I got in trouble a little, not for the work I was doing, but because I was working. I was accustomed to coming in and working on things after hours when people didn't need, you know, the load on the server was less and it was less obnoxious to the users in the middle of the night. and my the contracting office got really angry at me. And I treated it, you know, I had been told by other people in this role that were around me that this wouldn't be a problem because they did it. You know, I said, sometimes I'll work 12 hours cranking something out and then I'll just take it later. And my contractor got wind that I was doing this, and they put me on probation. They said, if you don't straighten up and stop behaving like that, we're going to fire you. And I'm sorry, I've got one hard and fast rule. Do not get fired. If you're under threat of getting fired, it's time to do something else. That's what I did. I got an opportunity to provide application support for a function in the federal government that was being run out of the same area that I was doing stuff in. And it was a great opportunity. And I went from 65 up to 70. And the other person who was doing the job left, was escorted out, frankly. He's a good guy, though. I liked him, personally. And then I got his job, and they boosted me up to 77. And that was great. We were getting ready to make there was a contract change. This happens a lot. Contractors are constantly changing, especially when things aren't on the time schedule that they'd like them to be on. It didn't have anything to do with the work I was doing particularly. That job was really high stress. And I was trying to get kind of an understanding of it. I don't think I ever really got fully there. And there was another case of getting some, you know, honestly, it was a case of getting kind of, I don't know if it was bad advice, but advice that wasn't helpful and didn't make me look any better. And so at the contract change, I decided not to proceed with the contract change. I wasn't going to go forward with the other guys, with the new contractor. And all this time, you know, and these things would come and little things would come to mind, and I would just follow small promptings. But the thing was, anytime there was another opportunity, I would take it. I got the impression that, so I was looking for jobs, and I was looking for jobs all over the place. We were kind of looking more, I think, at Colorado than I was looking at any place else. But, and I would always say this, there was a few things about the whole thing about opportunities and about taking opportunities when they came. If a job was offered, I tended to take it. There was a few times earlier beyond this when I had looked at jobs and then I had not taken them. And I had decided to stop doing that. So I got offered a position at Cannon Air Force Base back in Clovis. I couldn't believe I was going back, kind of coming back to where I had come from. Although now I was going to get good pay, you know, it was going to be like, now I'm going to stop talking about pay soon enough because it gets so astronomical that it's not, I don't even talk about it. Got a job at Cannon Air Force Base for $75,000, and that was, you know, it wasn't what I was wanting to be paid. And it was a tricky job. I really would have been happier taking the lower grade job, but they only wanted to pay 70 there, and that there was an opportunity to take a job that paid 77. So I took the 77 job, which was kind of quasi management, and I don't know. I didn't do very well, and I didn't feel I was doing very well, and I don't think the people I was working for were particularly very happy either. And so when an opportunity came up, funny to go back to Eastern New Mexico University. I took a lead position there, and dropped my pay back to 60. No, it dropped my pay back to 57. It was like, holy free holies. Lisa was not happy with that, but did okay, bought a house. We were doing okay. Not wonderfully, but okay. They did kind of a study of what we were doing. Again, kind of like New Mexico State did. Eastern kind of did something like that. And I got a big pay bump there. Got up back up to like 65. Not too bad. But still, kind of like Lisa was, I think, unhappy in that I was making a whole lot more and now I was making a lot less. Although she said the stress was getting to you and I wasn't happy. And it was like, great, thanks. So it was good that we made that change. I stayed with Eastern for 4 years. Did this big project. The big project got done. And I was quite happy about that. And a COVID came. Boy, let me tell you, blessing came from the fact that first my mother had gotten really sick, and the time had come that my brother had come to pick her up and take her to live at what's called his casita back behind his house that he had planned to put up his parents when they got old and couldn't handle things anymore. Well, mom had been having problems for a while. And she went off to live with him, which left the house in Tucumcari that she had empty. And it was various states of, oh, I don't know how we're going to sell this particularly. This is tricky. At least not at a good price. We thought, we had brought in one of our friends who's a real estate agent. He said, $30,000. And you're going, you're kidding, really? That's all? And of course, you know, the kids were growing up and going off. All of our kids had gone off into the military. The last three boys had gone off, F6 kids. The last three had gone off into the military. So it was just Lisa and Matt, the keeper, and I. And we had a 2,000 square foot house in Portales, and so the decision was made that we would sell that one. And we had thought about still selling my mom's house or just boarding it up and ignoring it for a time that we ever needed it in the future. But we decided to go ahead and move into it. Number one, it was paid for, so we sold the house in Portales at not a loss, but certainly sold it for less than what we had paid for it. Now, I don't care about that kind of thing because I always just compare it to rent. Buying a house is always less expensive than rent, at least in that payment you have to make. Still have to do all the upkeep to the place. So we fixed up that house. I got it ready to sell. And we sold it. And boy, let me tell you, we sold it the week that COVID shut down the world. That they said everybody needs to go home. We're not going to be around each other anymore. We're all going to work from home as much as we can. And so I was working from home in Tucumcari. My mom quick claimed her old house to us. She didn't want to have anything more to do with it. It's like, okay, great. We'll just take it. And we decided to live in there. Lisa fixed it up to the point to where she wanted it to be so that she would enjoy it. And and that's kind of how we got back to Tucumcari again. Really kind of weird, going out questing for big things and then coming back. So I was doing my job at Eastern, but I was actually doing it remotely from Tucumcari. And it's pretty interesting. And then there came bigger things. I was just wanting some, you know, I had some time. I just wanted to get away a little bit. And I decided I was going to go up to, I don't know where I'd gotten the thing about the mountains out by Socorro and Magdalena. So I planned just a little trip, taking one of the vehicles, one that Brenna, Jelaine, sold to me for, well, we traded kind of. No, actually, I sold off another car, and I had given the money that I'd used to sell that car to Brenna Jelaine in exchange for a Ford Explorer. Nice. Really nice. Eddie Bauer, nice. I finally appointed vehicle, and I was using that to at the very end of my Eastern job, which is really good because, let me tell you, they had a huge storm, a snowstorm, and I was really glad that I had that vehicle in doing that. It was the right vehicle for that situation. Anyway, so I was taking that thing up, and I had set it up so that I slept in the back of that when I was staying at the house in Portales, when that finally sold. So I went to go camping up in the mountains. But I decided to just, you know, I said, oh, there's a high-powered New Mexico university. The New Mexico Institute of Mining and Technology, New Mexico Tech, what they usually call it. And I said, well, I'm going to be driving through there. I wonder if there's something there. Something tickled my fancy. And sure enough, I looked and there was a job there. And this job paid $85, the highest amount of money I would have ever been paid ever. And I went for it. And they hired me. So anyway, well, I went on that camping trip. The camping trip was interesting and a little hair raising. I did it by myself. You can tell I get bored quickly for just these kinds of things. When I get bored, it's almost like the Lord trying to tell me I need to do something. And so I got that job. It was really one of those culminating jobs. It really had aspects of some of the more interesting things that I'd either done or tried to do in the past and some extra new things. And it also was, let me tell you, it was the culmination of so many things. I'm trying to think of what I've done. Oh, it was also classified work again. It was work primarily for the military. It was when I started camping out. I bought a really cheap piece of land out there. I originally still slept in the back of the Ford Explorer, but it was getting expensive. The Ford Explorer didn't get good gas mileage, and it was tricky. I spent the winter in that Ford Explorer sleeping out on my little acre. It was called the crash site. I built the blister. It was a geodesic dome built out of PVC pipe, and my first attempts at doing it were really it didn't work very well. The polyurethane that I put over the top was getting torn up in the horrible winds that were out there at the crash site just outside of Figueira, New Mexico. Anyway, and so I finally moved out of the Ford Explorer into the blister, as I called it, and it worked okay for a few months, but it was obvious I was having to do too much patchwork on it, and it was constantly getting ripped apart, and it was just kind of a mess. But all along I would get little inspirations, and I would pick up little things that made stuff work. I'm going to skip over getting the vehicle that replaced the Ford Explorer, because it was just too expensive to operate in what I was doing, coming home on the weekends, going back and forth. There was a 30-minute commute into work from where I was, and, you know, the 4 hours trips going back to Tucumcari. It was tricky. But the money was really good, and I got a pay increase. No, I was in line. I was going to be getting a pay increase before the next opportunity happened, which I really hadn't been thinking too much about. Something came up, like a news article, about the fact that Eastern, the old CEO, he was older than I was, but he wasn't terribly old. He was trying to retire, and they were having problems getting a new CEO at Eastern New Mexico University. I wasn't that CEO. He was fine. I don't know if he was even fine with me as a technical lead under him. He wasn't really that. He didn't like me much, I don't think. And I think I was a little cocky. Yeah, and I'm not saying I was God's gift to it either. Anyway, so I had had this other job. I'd had it for a year and a half, and I had done some really interesting work, but it wasn't management. Although I had long since finished my master's, I had the education to impress people that I would be good for the chief executive job there. But at the same time, I found out that Mesa Lands was offering a chief executive, chief information officer job. And I applied for that one. And that one, I got the call back, and I got hired to do that. And the horrible mess that poor Mesa Lands was, I didn't really know. People had talked about it, but, you know, rumors, and I wasn't. Anyway, so I got the job offer to be the chief information officer, which was a misnomer. It was more just a manager job at Mesa Lands. And that one only lasted 6 months. The whole situation was just a mess. Bad finances, and messy. And things were gonna go downhill there anyway. I was gonna end up getting a lesser position, which I hate doing. And I got a pay cut from what I was making. The most money I ever made so far was at Mesa Lands, doing the CIO job. Money they really didn't have. So just, well, I was the first person to leave in a long stream of people leaving. So anyway, I was hoping I was going to bring about how the Holy Spirit kind of helped me in all this. Usually God was stirring the pot. Things were happening, you know, things in a previous employment wouldn't be doing all that great. And other things would manifest themselves, either better or at least better circumstances, good things. And anyway, so I did. I left Mesa Lands, one of the few and only times. It's almost the only time that I've ever resigned from a job without having another job already in my hand. And I ended up getting a job at Sandia National Labs. Good paying job in the 90s. And it was getting kind of rough from the whole standpoint of I was starting to say, you know what, I'm missing out on life. It was an hour commute in to and from the crash site. I reset up the crash site. Oh, and I started sleeping in the boat when the blister was just troublesome. I actually broke it down, and when I took the job at Mesa Lands, there was nothing except a fence left at the crash site. I took the job at Sandia. Pretty decent job. I wasn't unhappy with it. The pay was certainly excellent. I was doing some rather interesting work, but not kind of below me, honestly, even though the pay was really good. And I don't mean to say that I didn't. I think I was getting to the point to where I started losing my cockiness. But I think the job at New Mexico Tech did that to me. I basically got told that I wasn't performing to the level that they wanted me to perform at. And I think half of it had to do with the fact that I didn't live nearby. I wasn't there on the weekends. And that was basically unacceptable. And so, yeah, it was kind of good that I left that. Because I actually, the job that I had left was still open when the chief information officer job died, or I killed it. I actually killed it. There was no chief information officers after me. I was the only one they ever had, and so far. And well, anyway, I'm not going to go into all the reasons why I did that. It was certainly something that I prayed about. And the Spirit said, it's okay if you want to leave that. It's like, okay, I'm leaving it. I didn't, you know. It was going to get tricky soon anyway. I was going to get pulled into other responsibilities, sadly, soon enough, for which I was certainly not qualified. And the stress was going to get to be too much on a whole nother level. Anyway. And the pay was going to go down. It was going to be an unhappy situation, I got to tell you. Anyway, so I was at Sandia, and I had stopped looking for jobs. Now, I've gotten to the point where sometimes I don't turn off the spigot. You know, you'll, like, go out and do the job hunt, and you will be getting recruiters all the time wanting you to come work here and come work there. It was always tricky because it was either I was going to work from home in Tucum Cary, which a lot of places just were not very interested in doing, or I would work for, or I would have to go to them. Sandia worked because I already had a living situation not too far away. Only an hour off was really not a problem. It was far enough from home that was a tricky thing. And it really wasn't going to work very readily. But I kept doing it. It was funny. A recruiter out of the blue from at Pantex here, which is where I work now, talked to me. And it's like, well, it's still being the guy who says, you know what? If I'm presented with a good opportunity, they were going to pay me more than a Sandia was paying me. It is closer to home. Amarillo's an hour closer to home than Albuquerque, and took care of things. Anyway, so this thing really came about, and it's really great. And I'm sorry to say that I'm not really doing justice to the fact that I've used the process that Elder Hales or Elder, I can't remember his name. I'm pretty sure it was the other one. It's not coming. Oh, it's terrible. And all this time it didn't pop into my head, which usually they'll say, oh, it was Elder what's-his-name. Talked about going forward, moving forward, and letting the Holy Ghost tell you when not to do something. I'm going to talk about the car in the next recording, which is a really fantastic spiritual experience. Was this car that I'm sitting in right now, the acquisition of this car, was really amazing. And I'll leave that for a next recording. And but all along in here, I'm sorry, I'm jittering back and forth, which is what I do. I employed that concept of just taking opportunities, moving forward, doing what needed to be done. It's been a roller coaster ride for both Lisa and I. Lisa doesn't like existential roller coaster rides, which I do to her quite often. She's really wanting me to stay where I am, what I'm doing for the next 5 years. The way things are going here, to just kind of get things pulled together, it might take me 5 years to do what I'm supposed to be doing, or what they kind of have envisioned that I would do. It might take 5 years just process wise to get this accomplished. And I guess that wouldn't bother Lisa too much if I didn't make a huge job change again. Regardless, we're going to talk about the car here shortly. But the hand of the Lord in kind of opening the way for these things to happen is reinforced to me again and again that all these things that have happened over the years, the moves we've made and stuff like that, have really been a great blessing to me and to my family, and reinforces to me again and again that God is there. God is real. God touches us and helps us. And as we do the things that he wants us to do, if you know all these recordings that I do and the essays that I do my slow slog through the Book of Mormon and writing about that is really being well blessed, compensated. I do quite well. My pay is excellent. I don't talk exactly about how much I make in any given circumstance. I'm doing better than I was in New Mexico Tech, and I took the better paying job that's closer to home in Amarillo. A good situation. I go to the temple. I used to go to the temple when I was working at Socorro. I go to the temple twice a week. When I was working at Sandia, I would go to the temple once a week. And here in my job at Pantex, I go to the temple once a week again. The logistics don't work for going more than once a week. Although this is good because Lisa's going to the temple more, and in fact this weekend. I'm on a 980 schedule, which means I get every other Friday off. We're taking a trip to the temple in Lubbock. We're taking our full-time missionaries with us, and that's going to be nice. We're going to take a Friday, get off early, and go and take in a session at the temple, go out and get lunch somewhere, and then come home. And that's kind of the plan for that. And when you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, ta-da, marvelous things come to pass. And I'm really, I feel abundantly blessed. And so that's something that really needs to do. As you put yourself in the way of the Lord and doing the things that the Lord wants to have done, being that kind of a person, you're going to be blessed amazingly. I have been. All these opportunities and these wonderful things going on. And I've even, okay, well, we're not going to talk about the car yet. The car's coming in the next recording. This is Jason Nevro. You've been listening to a long rambling thing about all the changes that have come to me and how the Spirit has helped me and how listening to General Conference talks can change your life and make things so much better. And let me leave you with the priestly blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace.